Lamed Mar Cheshvan, Aleph Rosh Chodesh Kislev, Thursday the 28th of November, all three at once. Rabbi Yossi Goldberg, Chukas Hagoy, is wearing a poppy permitted, and other questions?
Good morning, Good Chodesh. When I was brought up with many Jewish concepts, and one of them was Chukas Hagoy, but I was never taught the exact parameters of what it means, where it applies, where it comes from, what you have to be careful, looking out for, what the criteria is, etc. I remember a humorous comment that was once made. Someone was very displeased with the idea of wearing a rimless kapel, and said, "Wearing a rimless kapel is Chukas Hagoy." So it's important to have clarity in terms of what Chukas Hagoy actually is.
That was in the Jewish Tribune.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay, well there you are.
Can't argue.
Right. So the three questions that we'd like to address today is, first of all, fashion. Does fashion enter the arena of Chukas Hagoy? Do we have to be concerned about items of clothing? And let's talk about jeans just as one example. The second question I want to address is wearing a poppy. Is there a problem with Chukas Hagoy? And the third question, and this might come as a shock by the time we're finished if we get there, which is, what about birthday cakes? Are there potential problems of Chukas Hagoy with birthday cakes?
Thanksgiving
is a different child.
And
birthday cakes and candles included. So the truth is, I'd love to take you through a Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Yud Aleph, but I'm worried that we won't have time to get to the end, so I'm just going to be selective in terms of my quotes. But afterwards, anyone who wants an expanded version is more than happy to come forward, and I'll explain to them exactly what's going on. But the Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Yud Aleph is talking about the din of the Mishnah of Yom Ideihen, which are non-Jewish festivals which center around Avodah Zarah. There are certain events, times of the year, where the Goyim get excited and they serve their Avodah Zarah with gusto. And the Gemara in the Mishnah in Avodah Zarah says you shouldn't do business with Goyim before these days because it will cause them to engage with their Avodah Zarahs with more excitement, and you're going to be causing Avodah Zarah, etc. So that's the context of the Gemara of Yom Ideihen. However, the Gemara draws a comparison with regards to Machlekes, Ramei, and Chachomim. Then, again, I'm sorry, I can't get into this, but the Gemara draws a comparison from Yom Ideihen to Chukas Hagoy. How does the Gemara jump from Yom Ideihen to Chukas Hagoy? So Rashi there says, what is Chukas Hagoy? Chukas Hagoy means Chok Oivdei Kechovim Hu L'Shem Avoidas Kechovim. Chukas Hagoy is defined by that which a goy does for the sake of Avodah Zarah. That's what Rashi says. So Avodah Zarah, Avodah Zarah only. Rashi. Tosfos, again, without getting into the nature of why Tosfos reaches his conclusion, and he brings questions from the Gemara in Sanhedrin, but Tosfos says, Pirish Ri, Detrei Gavnei Chukah. There's two types of chukim, Chukas Hagoy. The first one is like Rashi, the Shem Avodah Kechavim. The second one, Tosfos says the following words, She'oisin l'shem das hevel ushtus shalohem. That something which non-Jewish people do because of a nonsense, without rhyme or reason. Well, that's certainly an interesting definition of Chukas Hagoy, and this is what I'd like to expound upon. No, this is nonsense, but before we get to Nechush in a second. Obviously, we have to remember the essential source of Chukas Hagoy is a lav, okay? But what we're discussing here is the definition of Chukas Hagoy. And so far, we have in front of us two shittas of Rishonim, and we have to bear this in mind the whole way through. Rashi, on the one hand, says it's limited to Avodah Zarah, and Tosfos, on the other hand, says, well, there is Avodah Zarah as one consideration. Another one is Das Hevel Ushtus. So to expound on this, to explain a bit more, we're going to turn to a tshuva which the Maharik wrote on the topic of Chukas Hagoy. The shayla which the Maharik was discussing was a shayla about a particular type of doctor's coat, which he was worried, people were asking him, is there a problem of Chukas Hagoy to wear a coat which the only non-Jewish doctors normally wear? Would it be a problem for a Jewish doctor to wear it? So we're going to draw a number of points from this tshuva of the Maharik, and you'll see where the parallel is to what Tosfos says. So first of all, the Maharik makes a very interesting observation, and he says that the word choik, you have to see how the word choik is translated, right? And the best place to look for a translation in words that are used in Chumash is Rashi. But he quotes from a Rashi on the words in Parshas Kedoshim Yates es chukosai tishmoiru. So talking obviously about the chukim of the Torah. And Rashi says chukim elu gzeres melech she'ein tam ledova, that have no reason. Now it's obvious to me that anything in the Torah is going to have a reason. We just may not be aware of it. Chukim are those things which are unseen. We can't know the reason. So when Rashi says ein tam ledova, he can't mean it's just a load of nonsense. He means there is a reason, we just don't know it. So that's how Ma'arik also articulates it. It's not got a tam nigle. Okay, but the words of Rashi in explaining the translation of the word chuk is ein tam ledova. Chuk means no reason. So says the Ma'arik, well, if you want a definition of chuk as a goy, that's a good place to start. Any behavior, anything that a goy does, which has no rhyme or reason, and included in that is nechush and darchei moiri, things that they do for superstitious reasons, which is also nonsense. That is the first category, and Ma'arik says is chuk as a goy. Now, in my mind, that which we just said from the Ma'arik and that which we be quoted from Tosfos are two sides of the same coin. Ma'arik says chuk as a goy is ein tam, there's no reason, and Tosfos says chuk as a goy is that which the goyim do hevel and shtus. Well, what? There's not much difference between something that doesn't have a reason versus something that has a reason but it's nonsense, right? So I see the Ma'arik and Tosfos as very, very much closely aligned. Okay, but that's the first understanding, first definition of chuk as a goy, which the Ma'arik gives. The second one is slightly interesting, and he says that, you know, in today's climate and education, everybody's busy with British values. Well, the Ma'arik says there's Jewish values. And Jewish values, which he describes, namely, being tznius. He said, that which goyim do, which is derech shachatz v'gaiva, it's ostentatious, it's too loud, it's speaking of, it goes outside of the norm of the behavior which is expected from a yid, in other words, tznius, batznei aleches. Those types of things, says the Ma'arik, would also be considered chuk as a goy. Very nice idea. Where does he get it from? And he quotes from a Sifri in Parashat Sura, which is addressing the din of chuk as a goy. And Sifri says, "Shaloi toima hoyel v'yotzin ba'argomon afani yotze ba'argomon." One shouldn't say that just like the goyim go out with this color argomon, purple, so too I will also go out with the color argomon. If you were Rashi and you learnt that Sifri, you should be very mystified. Because Rashi, if you remember, said that chuk as a goy is defined only by avodah zarah. And the Sifri starts talking about wearing colours which goyim wear, what sort of shaykes is that? Okay? Says the Ma'arik, you see from this Sifri that there is a geder, there's a definition of chuk as a goy which is broader than simply avodah zarah, or even just something doesn't have a reason. There's a certain behavior associated with loud and ostentatious colors, which is also part of our concern when it comes to chuk as a goy. Another point which we want to bring out from the Ma'arik. Chuk as a goy doesn't depend on an action only. It's not about copying just in the form of an action that he's copying. So, for example, wearing a beged that a goy wears. Says the Ma'arik, it has to be done with a kavana. It has to be done with an intent to be like the goy. That's what your intent is in the behavior of copying that. Furthermore, not only, well, I wouldn't say not only, sometimes it's not about what goes through your head, but it's about what, objectively speaking, would be considered copying the goyim. And I'll give you a brilliant example of this. If someone decides, round about the time of November, December, that he wants to have a chaga tree in his dining room, and the reason why he decides that is because he likes it for his decor, he likes the colour of wood, he thinks the tree looks very nice, maybe he might put some lights on it. It's a very nice decoration in his house. And in his mind, and even if we'll say, honestly speaking, in his mind, there is nothing about chaga or any of the non-Jewish associations with this tree at all going through his mind. He simply chooses a tree because he fancies the idea, it looks nice, etc. I think there will be no argument to say about that, I'm sorry, sir, but objectively speaking, having that tree in your house, and I would add, especially at the time of year, is a non-Jewish thing to do.
It does it in summer.
Sorry?
It does it in
summer. It's a good
summer.
China. I would even say it extends to that.
But it is sukkah.
Okay, so I would argue it extends to that. I would argue it extends to that. But you can hear there's a moon to argue, but let's stick to this example because it brings out the point. That we're discussing lehizdamoisaleen to be like them. It doesn't just have to be what goes through your mind. It can even be something that, objectively speaking, is just, by definition, it's a non-Jewish item. Who are you kidding? That's what the Ma'arik adds to be aware of when discussing, again, the criteria of Chukas HaGoyim. With this in mind, the Ma'arik addresses his question of what he calls the kapo, the doctor's coat. And he says, why is a doctor's coat worn? There's a reason for it.
Hygiene
might be one of them, but he says, it's a status. It's a covered. Or it's a sign of how much you're getting paid. Rav Achmomin, sounds how much you're getting paid. A doctor wears a specific type of garment which other lower paying professionals don't wear. You could argue cleanliness as well, as you wish. But whatever the reason what Marik's pointing to is that there is a te'eles yodua. Remember he says that the problem with copying goyim is only a problem if there's no reason. But if there's a te'eles yodua, if there's a reason for why it is done, then there's no problem with chukas HaGoyim. So that's how he deals with his question. But what's important to us now, stepping out of the Ma'arik, is to summarize what we've learned so far in terms of the overall definitions of chukas HaGoyim. So we have Rashi and Tosus, who say Avodah Zarah is the only calculation to be made. Is this a matter of L'shem HaKavodis HaChovim or not? That's one definition. The other definition which Tosus says is it Hevel or Shtos, or I would say in the words of the Ma'arik, is it Ein Boi Tam? Is it something that has no reason? It's just nonsense? By the way, what's the problem with copying nonsense? The problem with copying nonsense is if there's no reason for you to do it, then the only reason why you're doing it is that you're doing it to copy the Goy. That's the problem. If there was a reason why you're doing it, good for you. If there's no reason, then the only logical conclusion is you must be doing it to copy the Goy. Well, that's a problem in itself. Okay. But that's the second definition. It has no reason. And the third one, as we just said from the Ma'arik, is behaviors which are against Jewish values. They're not sneers, they're derech shachatz or gaiva. And we added, on top of that, we have to remember, another criteria is that this has to be lehizdamois alein. It has to be that your behavior is one of wanting, or objectively speaking, you are copying the goyim. It's not enough just to act, it has to be done lehizdamois alein. Now I want to add another criteria, and this is from the Sifra Kuf Lamed Beis, and the Sifra says, when talking about Chukas HaGoyim, Lo yomarti elo b'chukim hachakukim lohem v'la'aviseyem v'la'avois aviseyem. When we talk about Chukas HaGoyim, we're not talking about a fad or a phase or a temporary trend which Goyim happened to do for these few years or this generation. It has to be something embedded in non-Jewish culture. It is something that they do, that their parents did, that their grandparents did. Well, that changes things slightly. When, again, in terms of a criteria, we're building a criteria list over here to answer our original three questions. It's an important feature. It has to be something which is a choik, something which is real, embedded as part of the culture. And by the way, Rashi and Chumash, on the words of Chesem Leiselechu, pretty much says the same thing. I don't think he's quoting from Zifra, but he says, Dvorim hachakukim lohem. It's very much mashma, it's something that's embedded. It's not just a fad or a behavior. It's a choik, it's a tradition, it's something embedded. So, bearing in mind the opinions that we have of Chukas HaGoyim, Avodah Zarah and Bo Tam as the two central themes in Rishonim. Now, let's have a look at what the Shulchan Aruch says. The Shulchan Aruch is largely taken from the Lashon of the Rambam. And he begins by saying, like the Rambam says, you shouldn't have haircuts similar in the way they have, The Rambam, interestingly, also says you shouldn't, and he quotes it, and the Chabad Paskins, you shouldn't build dimyonim of avodas kechavim. And it's a very strange halacha. What exactly he means not to build buildings that avoid that the goyim build. What's he talking about? Huh?
The church.
He's saying the style of the building. What is the actual point that he's worried about? The Rambam, the Rav Moshe Feinstein, leaves it as a tzorich ion on this Rambam. He does not understand for the life of him what he wants with this building. Is it the purpose of the building? Is it the style of the building? I mean, what way are you copying the goyim? Everyone has buildings. We live in buildings. What do you want? What's that? Yeah, what's a non-Jewish building, you know? What does it mean not to build binyonim like the goyim? So it's an interesting side, I'm just saying. Is it a building or is it what it's used for? Alright, it's an aside, it's an interesting aside to think about. What is it when we talk about not building buildings like a goyim? But here's the crunch of the matter. The Ramah. Ramah writes, Yehimuvdol, again from the Loshen there, Rambam, Yehimuvdol mehem b'malbushov v'shamayisiv. It should be different and separate from the goyim. Listen to these words a bit. Chol zeh einu yosa ele badova shenagu boi goev dekhovim l'shum pritzas. Sound familiar? Marik. Something that the goyim do because of pritzas is also of kegoyim, and he says it's an example of lilvois mabushim adoimim, to wear red clothes. Okay, as we said, it's an example of gaiva, of ostentatious, of too loud. Oy bedova shenagu leminig velachoik ve'ein tam bedova. Beautiful. So the Ramah is literally lining up with the Marik, seemingly. He's saying pritzas, he's saying ein tam bedova, all sorted. However, the next few words, very strange. And Mark continues, V'sheyesh boi shemet avoydas kechovim me'aviseyem. What does chukas agoy mean? Priestess, not following the minig, etc. In time of dova, V'sheyesh boi shemet avoydas kechovim. Well, hang on a second. You're mixing up two shittas over here. We said all along, there are two primary shittas in Rishonim. One is avoydas kechovim, and the other one, separate to that, is Tosfos Ein Bo Tam, which the Marik expounded on, which we spoke about. But they are two separate shittas. They're not totally habaha, and there are more in Paskening Halacha L'Maisa says, we have to be concerned about those things which Goyim do, which don't have a reason, Ein Tam L'Dova, but they also, Vashe Yesh, and they have a Shemetz Avodah Zorah, they have a relevance, they have a remnant of Avodah Zorah. What's the Ramah doing over here? So Rav Moshe brings that there's a third shittah of the Rishonim. Brought in the Ran al-Orith in Mesechus in the same place in Avodah Zarah. And the Ran puts the two together. The Ran says, Le'osra Torah el-Chukoy shal Eivdei Kechovim, Eilu Dvorim shal Hevel u'batola. Remember that Loshon HaTorah says Hevel, Das Hevel. Okay, so he's saying that it's nonsense. It's things that Goyim do for nonsense. V'chulon yesh bohem Torah Avodah Kechovim. But not only is it by nature something doesn't have a reason or nonsense, but it also has a tzorich, a relevance to avodas chachovim. So the Ran is the one that puts the two, and one of the Rishonim puts these two ideas together. So in terms of Rishonim, what we have now, we have three. We have Rashi who says just avodas chachovim. Tosfos who says avodas chachovim, one reason, a separate reason, ein tam l'dova. And the Ran who comes through in the middle and says the two merge together. Anything the goyim do which don't have a reason, but conditionally they have to have a tzorich avodas chachovim.
If they don't.
Then there's no problem with chukas agoyim.
They lived in Christian Europe. What exactly was this idol worship that they saw around them? I mean, apart from Christmas trees. I mean, that's
crazy. What did you say to stop to stand there with the Yom HaShoah? That is which is a chukas agoyim.
Well, that's an interesting question. I'm not sure where's the goy part in it? Okay.
If it has no reason, what's the
tzorah? Good point. It's a tradition. They are engaging in nonsense which don't have a real source for why it's done. But this is what we do as part of our religious practice.
Yeah,
it's a question. It's a good question. I want to mention one more point before we get into the three shilas. Okay, and the one more point I think is so crucial. Again, in terms of applying halacha l'mais of chukas agoy, and that is the word of the Taz. The Taz says, "Hamedinois chalukois b'minhogam bozeh." He's talking about the different types of haircuts, which the Rambam talks about and the Shulchan Aruch talks about, and he mentions the fact that different places do haircuts in different ways. And this is really, really crucial. Because it's absolutely obvious, you cannot apply one blanket rule of what's considered Jewish and what's considered non-Jewish across the board in all areas of the globe. You go to Africa, you go to third world countries where people are accustomed to walk around in long robes, right? You wouldn't have, that would be a very different non-Jewish attire than it is in the UK and in America, right? And I'll tell you something else. It always, my father always goes mad about it. In Eretz Yisrael, the people who are accustomed, and many people do, they have chagga lights in their sukkah.
What?
Right? They have chagga lights, Xmas lights in their sukkah. Fine, but who brought this whole light? Who came first? Right? The whole idea of light in that fashion, it's a non-Jewish led thing. Now, I'm not suggesting that they're wrong for doing so. Okay, I'm not suggesting they're wrong for doing so. What I'm saying is you have different cultures in the world who do differently. So in Eretz Yisrael, when they take those lights and put them in their sukkah, they're not doing chukkas as a goy. They're not copying anything. They don't even know anything about chukkas. Not part of their culture. It's not part of anything. The non-Jewish shop don't sell these lights. It's not part of the non-Jewish life if whatever exists there. So for them to have lights in the sukkah, my name, sukkah, very nice. But for someone in the UK to do it, it's a bit different. We all know what's, as we said before, objectively speaking, you know, everyone knows what chagga's about in terms of the tree and the lights. And that you walk into a sukkah, you see chagga lights everywhere, and your first thought is chagga. Push it. Right? So you see here that Medinos Chalukas and Chagamas, there's a really important feature in this whole topic. That everywhere is going to, you go to New Square in America, where everyone's walking around in Hasidic Begodim, it's a whole Hasidic town, and you walk in with these t-shirt and shorts, you know, you've got more to be thoughtful about in terms of what behaviour are you engaging in. Are you engaging in non-Jewish or Jewish behaviour? It's going to depend, and we'll talk about it more Baruch in a second, it's going to depend on different areas in how they, in what's normal for them. So the first question, and I'm going to summarise with this. When we come to our three questions, which we began with, clothing, poppies and birthday cakes, what we have to remember is the criteria that we've gone through in the last 20 minutes in establishing what is chukas agoy. And the first question you need to ask yourself is it a chuk? Remember we said, a chuk means it's an embedded part of culture. So you have to ask a question, which was, when we learned it, b'chabura was raised, and I really concur with this svara. Can you really say about fashion, that it any item of fashion, that it is a chuk? Fashion, by the very nature, is a fad. It's a phase. It's something that comes and goes. That's what a fashion is, you know, every season, every year, every
Not to wear last year, not to wear this year.
No. So we said earlier, a chayk is something which they do and their fathers did and their grandfathers did. Now you go look at what people, I mean, some of you remember yourself, what people wore in 1950, 1960, forget about it. It doesn't bear relevance to top hats and all sorts of things.
The word fashion is ofana, a wheel.
Right, it changes. That's the whole definition of fashion, it changes. And we go around in circles, we have glasses, big glasses, small glasses, we're going to go around again, big glasses. Right, this is what happens, that's what fashion is. So maybe it's,
You mentioned haircuts, you didn't go on about.
No, I didn't go into that, but it's mentioned in Rambam, yeah, as a form of. Haircuts is also something that people, sure, that would change your time. But the point I'm pointing to is, maybe the shaila of fashion doesn't even start, that's what I'm saying. Maybe the whole thing of chayk doesn't apply to fashion. Fashion doesn't come into the question of chukas agoy because it's not a chayk. Finished. Period. There's no question. The nature of fashion throughout history.
I think the trends are much shorter these days.
Possibly.
But if it's immodest, the kosher fashion is
absolutely. But then you have a different. You see, you're leading on to a different question because any item which is a problem of tznias, then surely you have the problem of tznias anyway without chukas agoy. And that you would have, true. But you won't have chukas agoy, because it has to be a tradition. It has to be part of the culture. But let's...
Isn't the tradition to do the latest?
What are you saying?
There's a tradition, he's saying, to follow the latest fashion. But it's not clear what that is. And anyway, is it really? Or is it just some people do? It's not really embedded in the culture. Many people don't. You know, many people buy what's cheapest. I mean,
fashion, it's my business. Because they sell, they right. Would keep the same fashion 20 years, and
yeah.
They wouldn't sell.
Okay, very good.
They would keep the coat from last year, 2 years ago.
Okay.
So the fashion has to change.
Right.
Every year the business has to renew.
Okay.
So 1 year is long, 1 year is short.
So you're supporting my point?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, just go ahead.
There's certain countries where they have a certain type of clothing that they wear, like traditionally.
Fine, so that might be different. But let's move on a bit, because I want to end the three questions in total. But let me just, for argument's sake, say it is a choik, okay? Just for one second. Let's say, well, you know, there's certain clothing in certain countries, they have clothing that's, you need to define that better if you want to take it halacha, but let's just for argument's sake say that it is a choik. Rav Moshe says, here you have a difference between whether Ammar, how the Ramah would deal with this, and how the Marik would deal with this. Because the Ramah, as we said, says all Chukas HaGoy has to have a Shemetz Avodah Zorah. He mentions preachers, he mentions Eivayim Tam, but he also says it has to have Shemetz Avodah Zorah, and it comes from the Ran that says, Kulon Yesh Ben Tzarech Avodah Zorah. Well, you tell me about non-Jewish items of clothing, maybe, and there's a shayla in itself, but canonicals, the priests wear. Alright, so you've got one item of clothing, very good, that set of begodim, avodas are related, I get it. Right? And you can argue other religions with other religious items, fine, I hear that. But general code of not a chance, finished. No, there's no chukas hagoy. So even if it is a chayk, come to Ramah, there's nothing to worry about. Says Rav Moshe, come to Marik, however, then you can start getting into shayla. Someone mentioned it, shachas regaiva, well. And again, it's going to be community-based here, because you'll have some people telling you that, oh, jeans is very ostentatious, it's very non-Jewish, it's very gaivadic. You'll have other communities saying, what are you talking about? It's just a normal mode of clothing, it's casual wear.
It's invented by a Jew.
Okay, so, you know what I'm saying? It's going to be totally on communities. Let's keep the questions around, because I want to finish up here. Let's just finish off these things. Let's remember, Medina is Chalukah is B'Menhagim Mazeh, okay? So remember that everywhere is going to be different with that. So in terms of answering this first question of clothing, I would say this. First of all, it's probably not even a chok, there's nothing to worry about. Even if it is a chok, the Ramah says clearly it has to come from Avodah Zarah, which it doesn't, largely speaking, and therefore there's nothing to worry about. Let's move on to poppies. Now, boys, say, what is the origin of poppies? So, in my little research, poppies are worn to remember those who served in the British Armed Forces. It was brought into 1921, and the reason why poppies were chosen was because poppy flowers grew on the battlefields after the end of the First World War. This poppy tradition, and it is a tradition, was further boosted by a poem called In Flanders Fields, which is often said on Remembrance Day, etc., etc. Lovely. Is it a choik? Yes. Does it come from Avodah Zarah?
No.
According to Ramah, which says everything has to come from Avodah Zarah, no problem. According to, just wait till after his own man, according to Marik, who says, even if it doesn't come from Avodah Zarah, if it doesn't have a tam, it's osa, well, I would not say that this fits into that category either, because I would say, remembrance, commemoration, HaKaras HaTov, these are concepts which do have a tam. Now, you may argue how to do that. You may want to light a candle rather than put a poppy on you. Fine. But the concept definitely is a logical concept. So I would say poppies, l'choladeis l'choira, at least those that we've mentioned today, have no problem at all. And someone wanted me to say before that it's perhaps even an Indian to wear it, right? Okay, you can make your own choice. But there's no problem with chukas hagoya. Finally, birthday cakes. Where do birthday cakes come from? So again, we have to understand the origin, and then we have to go through the criteria. The origin of birthday cakes, this is from a non-Jewish source, comes from the ancient Egyptians who invented the celebration of birthdays, as we know from the Torah. They celebrated the birthday of Paroi. The ancient Greeks, this is shocking, borrowed the tradition, but they baked moon-shaped cakes to offer up to Artemis, the goddess of the moon, as a tribute. So the roundness of a cake, which is across the world, we use as part of birthday cakes celebration, comes from a Greek, possibly, comes from ancient Greek tradition, as part of their service of Avodah Zarah. What's more, the lit candles on the cake represent the glow of the moon, and the smoke from the candles carried their prayers and wishes to their gods who lived in the skies. The boy said, is a birthday cake a choik? Is it part of our culture? Is it part of tradition that the birthday cake has to be round? 100% yes. Look around the world. Come on. Everyone has a round birthday cake. Besides those that make into shapes of numbers and things. But a birthday cake is round. Everybody. Any picture? Okay. I'm suggesting that birthday cakes are traditionally round. And I would also suggest that the origin is Avodah Zarah related. So I would have a problem with birthday cakes. I would make it even... It's more of a problem with candles, okay? Because candles is literally... There's no practical element to candles other than the fact that it's traditionally part of what you put on a birthday cake, which comes from Avodah Zarah. You could argue that roundness of cakes is, or squareness of cakes or different shaped cakes. You could really argue the colour. I hear the colour in terms of shapes of cakes. But in terms of candles, I don't think there's any room to be makel. So just to conclude, we began with three questions. We said, what about clothing? What about poppies? And what about birthday cakes? And I said it's really important with Chukas HaGoy to get clear the criteria before launching into brandishing things as Chukas HaGoy. And according to the criteria we've come out with, I think that it would be fair to say fashion there's no problem with, poppies there's no problem with, birthday cakes potentially there's a problem with, but largely candles.